This is Interpreting Wine host and founder Lawrence Francis welcoming you to a special series celebrating the beauty and diversity of Slovenian wine. These episodes, recorded in September 2019, let you virtually travel with me on a personal tour organized by Mojca from Enjoy Slovenia Travel and Wine. The episodes, to be released in the order in which they were recorded, will let the country unfold for you in the same way that it did for me. For more information about wine tourism in Slovenia, please visit enjoy-slovenia.com. Wines from the producers featured in the series can be ordered at fineslovenianwine.com. And to discuss ordering wines or the possibility for touring this amazing country, do be sure to email Mojca at info@enjoy-slovenia.com. Today's episode of the Slovenia Travel and Wine Special is a Maribor Wine Deep Dive. Starting off at the Old Vine House with our guide, we are introduced to some of the artifacts and story of the world's oldest vine, which grows alongside the property. We then look into the present of Slovenian winemaking, getting an overview of the regions and their influence on the winemaking culture, before tasting six wines that illustrate the regional style and diversity. The Fresher Lashki Riesling 2018, the Sauvignon Extreme 2016, the Fallot Sauvignon 2018, the Batch de Modre Blaufränkisch Rosé Pednat, the Marcus Renski Riesling 2015, and the Ducal Wines Lashki Riesling 2013. The second part of the episode looks into the past of Slovenian winemaking with a tour of the Vinag wine cellar in the city. This touches on the political turmoil that dramatically affected the way wine was made in Slovenia when it was part of Yugoslavia. And if you listen right to the end, you'll hear about exceptional vintages to look out from the latter part of the 20th century. Enjoy!
So per year we get from 35, 40, maybe 50 liters. This depends on the year, on the harvest. And it is processed on university estate at Meranovo. And then it is filled into this small designer bottle. So already the empty bottle is something special because it is designed by Oskar Kogoj, so he's a famous Slovene artist and designer. And this spiral on the neck, which you can see, this represents the longevity or infinity of life of this tree. And this is one of the most wanted or valuable wine bottles from this area. For us, it is priceless, so we never sell it. You can only get it for free. It is used as a protocol gift, so it was given to Pope John Paul II, ex-American President Bill Clinton, Japanese Emperor, so British Queen has one, and so on and so on. So it is also, they will probably not open it, they will keep it in collection, so there is one in protocol gift collection in White House. We also have a very interesting story how Dmitry Medvedev came to Maribor and he got this bottle of wine. He was here at the football game when Slovenia was playing against Russia. This was a qualifying game for the South Africa World Cup. And Slovenia won against Russia. It was 1-0 and the Russian president was not very satisfied with the result. And he wanted to leave Maribor as soon as possible because he was a little bit angry. And then just before he left, he was given this bottle and they explained him what this is about. And he left Maribor in a little bit better mood because he is a collector of rare wine bottles. And this is also in his personal collection. So again, one very special bottle, but unfortunately not everybody can buy or taste it.
Yeah.
So I suggest we go to the central part of our house. We will be following the mosaic, which is on the floor. So this is the biggest mosaic in our country. And it represents the flow of River Drava through the city of Maribor. So it's a tribute to Drava River because Drava River was always very important for the city, especially in the past when we were trading with wood and the timber rafts would be floating on the river because this was a very dangerous job. People working on timber rafts, they were asking Drava River ferries for help and protection. So this is what this symbol here in the mosaic represents. There are also some important years for the city. 1164 is the first mentioning of our city in Britain document. We also have a book here representing the Protestant movement in the city, and so on. And these are the many more symbols in the mosaic which goes through the house. So what is very interesting here, it's this map of our country. So here the three wine growing areas of Slovenia are presented. So we are now here in Maribor. This is wine area called Podravje, because the climate is determined by the river Drava. Then we have another area called Posavje. Here the climate is mostly determined by the river Sava. And we also have a coast where they have Mediterranean influence, so they have mostly red wines. Here we have white wines, because Maribor is it's a meeting point of Pannonic and Alpine world. So the Hungary would be the Pannonic flats, and the Maribor is the hill just outside the city. It's Pohorje, and Pohorje is the beginning of the Alps, which will stretch then through Europe. So it's a very interesting geographical, geological, and climatic area. Because the Pannonic flat used to be a Pannonic sea, and Pohorje used to be active volcano. So we have a meeting point of calc and tonalite, so volcanic soils here. And so that's why left bank and right bank of the river Drava are different regarding the soil. And this all affects the wine. So that's why we have such a diversity in this area. So it's not just the same content in the soil. It's very different, very diverse. So same is here at the coast. In Istria, they have red soil, also in Karst, Terra Rossa. Then in Vipava, they already have marl soil. And in Brda, they have very unfertile marl soils, which are great for top quality wine production. So, Slovenia being very small, but regarding the wines, fantastically diverse. So, this is a dream for every wine lover, because in a very short distance, if you travel from Istria to Karst, Vipava, Brda, the wines will change, the climate will change, the soil will change, and this is the same here in Maribor, in this area where we are at the moment. Our city, Maribor, it's known as a city in the middle of vineyards, because on the hills around the city, there are vineyards. As I told you before, the times of Phylloxera, there was even more, maybe 50% more vineyards than we have today. But some never got renovated after the Phylloxera, so we are at. So not all the top slopes are planted with the vines now. Also, when you were driving from Svečina, you saw some meadows, forests, where used to be vineyards. But this is slowly changing, because more and more winemakers are expanding the vineyards slowly, because the reputation of our wines is slowly again rising. So I promised you outside that I will show you the proofs of age of the oldest wine tree in the world. So the first proof, or more a hint, was this painting of medieval Maribor. You can see the castle, the cathedral, which we will see later. And as a part of the city wall is also the house in which we stand in at the moment. So this is the magnified picture of this house here. And you can see that already in late medieval times, 1657, there is a wine tree growing in front of this house. So when they have found this picture, they immediately started to observe this vine tree. They knew that it's very old, and they also decided to drill inside. So these were the experts from Institute of Forestry. They drilled inside with a special drill, hollow drill, and then they observed this part under microscope, and they counted the years. So they counted 390 years, but they said that we must add at least one-third to this age because of the missing part in the stem. And this was done 50 years ago, so today we can say that the tree is for sure 450 years old, but could be also older. Since 2004, the tree is written in the Guinness Book of Records and signed in the Guinness Book of Records, so it is officially the oldest in the world. So this is the picture before the revitalization with two old branches still on the vine. You can see that the house and the area was in really bad state. This is why it was meant. So this is why the house was meant for demolition. And luckily, the revitalization of the old wine was successful. House got renovated. We have the oldest wine tree in the world in full glory now in front of this house. And this is the official winekeeper, so the person who is responsible for health and well-being of the old wine. So he's also in charge of all the major works. So when the branches are pruned or removed in March, he's doing it. He's also present at the harvesting. He's also doing all the green works, as I explained, with the old wine tree. So these are some wine queens holding the parts of the branches. So everything what comes from this tree, for us, it's very precious. So these branches are given to different cities, municipalities, as a sign of friendliness and good connections. So they can plant it in some park or in front of some building on a sunny place, and they will have a daughter or a scion of the oldest wine tree in the world. So now we have already 270 official scions around the world and thousands of unofficial scions which were just given as a gift. So now we will move from the main part of the old wine house to the vinotech. So there are around 190 different wines represented here from 55 different winemakers. So this is a real treasure. So all the best wines from the area are here. Are presented here. So you have already met the Gaube family and tried their wines. So these are the fresh wines that we have, which are the most common in this area. You can see that mostly these wines are white, but we also have around 10% of red wines. Mostly this is Pinot Noir. We call it Modri Pinot. We also have Modra Franconia or Blue Franconian and some Zweigelt. So these are the three red varieties being represented here. And here on the top shelf, we also have some exotic wines. Exotic means made in a different way. Some winemakers are using concrete eggs. Some are using clay amphoras. And also wooden barrels are popular with the winemakers who want to make a little bit stronger, full-bodied wines. So you can also buy and taste the wine from the daughters of the oldest wine tree in the world. So these are the trees left and right from the old wine. Yeah, so these were scions planted here in the same place. So we have same genetic material, same microposition, but the wine is still quite different because the most important taste determinator, it's the depth of the roots. So the roots of the old wine are really very deep. If you consider that they will grow at least half a meter per year, you can imagine that they are somewhere 300 meters away from this tree, and they can access really funky minerals which are not found by the common grape wines, which are maybe 10, 20 or 30 years old, because the roots are not deep enough. So, this was a short introduction to the wines of this area, so I suggest that maybe you can sit outside and I will bring some nice wines for you. So the first one on this wine tasting comes from Pohorje wine area. It's from Fresher Vinery. We have a Laski Riesling, or the Welsh Riesling. The year it's 2018, so it's fresh. It has 12% of alcohol, so it's not too strong. It's made from ecologically grown grapes. And this is a really basic everyday wine that everybody likes to keep in the fridge, because if you have a Laski Riesling in the fridge, whatever you will cook, it will go very well with it. We call it Laski Riesling, what means in our language Italian Riesling, because Lahi, this is an old word for Italians. And this variety, the Welsh Riesling, origins from France, but to Slovenia it was bring from Italy. So this is why we call it Italian Riesling, although it's origins from France. So the characteristic of variety is that it has slightly smaller grapes, and this variety, it's very resistant. So this is why we have it in this area for at least 500 years. And because it is resistant, it is very popular with the winemakers, because every year, although the other varieties like Muscat, Sauvignon, Chardonnay, which are not so resistant, Laski Riesling will always have healthy grapes, and they will always be able to make a wine from Laski Riesling. And it's also very suitable for late harvest, selected harvest. We can also make ice wine from Laski Riesling. So it is very, very popular with the winemakers, and more also with wine drinkers. Because in the past, in times of Yugoslavia, Laski Riesling was regarded as a variety with lesser quality. It was not so popular because the acidity was higher, they were harvesting it too soon, and there was no particular structure and very high acidity. So they were hiding the Lashky Riesling in blends and in liter bottles. But with a specially careful work in the vineyard and good work in the cellar, also from Lashky Riesling, you can make a fantastic wine.
Okay. And then finally, maybe just a little something about the producer themselves.
Yeah.
Their style and house.
The Frischer Winery, it's located at Pohorje, on sunny slopes of Pohorje. So Pohorje, this is this mountain which you can see just here in the back. This part is famous for skiing, but this part it's not really sunny. That's why there are the skiing slopes. But if you go 10 kilometers towards Ljubljana, there will be the sunny part of Pohorje. And as I mentioned before, the Pohorje used to be a volcano. So they have granite tonalite soil. So these blocks are from Pohorje. And they have just a thin layer of brown soil on the top. And then the roots have to find a way in between the cracks in the stones where the nutrients are washed out. And they will also find very interesting minerals, because you know, when the lava is flowing, there are many changes in the soil. A lot of compounds are formed which are not found in other soil types. So they also, in this area, they have washed gold from the streams. They, every time when they make a new vineyard, they find interesting minerals, crystals, and it's very rich and very diverse regarding the soil diversity. So in the smell, this one, it's very, very gentle. It has this characteristic lime, lemony, fresh smell.
Super fresh.
Acidity, it's not too sharp. It just adds to the freshness, and it goes into nice and long aftertaste together with the minerality and the display that is... although it's a quite simple wine, it has a nice sensation. So we'll do something funny now. We will... compare two Sauvignons, two different Sauvignons.
Okay.
So the first we will taste Sauvignon Extreme.
Yeah.
This is 2016 vintage. Mm-hmm. And then we'll have the Falot. This is the Sauvignon from Professor Waldhuber. So you will be able to compare. Especially with these two wines, it's funny because we have two different types of fermentation. What kind of aromatic gives which kind of fermentation? So, genetically modified yeast and the natural yeast from Pohorje. So, what is fascinating for me with this spontaneous fermentation, that the aromatic profile of the wine is much wider. So, you don't get just the elderberry flower or just the tomato leaves or just the stinging nettle or paprika, but you get everything together. So the fruitiness, the flowery notes, the herbal notes. And here with the fresh one, the acidity, the aromatic kicks in, acidity is sharper, it's less rounded, and it's the aftertaste, it's quite short. So this is the fresh one.
Yeah.
And a Falot, in Slovene language or in local dialect, it means a kind of a bad boy.
Bad boy.
Bad boy.
Pepper.
Not very bad boy, yeah?
Yeah, okay.
It's like bad in a good way, yeah?
Okay.
Like playfully bad, yeah? And this is also the... With this name, he wants to describe the character of the wine. So playful, youthful, young, vivid, so on. So this M Wines, he's 3 years older than me. So again, a young winemaker. He is using only wooden barrels made from Slovene wood, acacia and oak. And he is using 500 liter barrels, so not the barrique, not the big ones, but 500 liter barrels, because in his opinion this is the best barrel to show the characteristic of the area, and also it is a little bit influenced by the wood. And he has a fantastic amphitheater formed vineyard. So what he does is he has eastern, southern and western exposure in the vineyard. And he will make, for Sauvignon, for example, he will make 3 different harvests and will have 3 different barrels. And each, so the early harvest will give the greener aromatic, the normal harvest will give the fruity aromatic, and the later harvest will give the body and the more ripe aromatic. So before bottling, he will mix everything together. So it's a lot of work, a lot of dedication, but at the end you have a fantastic wine. So all his wines are like this. So he wants to make a wine which are a little bit different from another winemakers, with a lot of handwork, a lot of dedication. He's mixing everything by hand, and also spontaneous fermentation is very risky, because sometimes if the wrong microbes will start the fermentation, everything can go wrong and you have basically the wine that nobody, including you, would like to drink.
And again, because of the region, it's mainly white.
Yeah, so
white wines.
White wines. He only has a Pinot Noir, but he makes sparkling wine and rosé, not okay. Red wine.
Okay.
For me, these wines are really interesting because there are no surprise, but there is always surprise how well the wine is made, and there is no deviation year to year because it's always very strict, very. Following all the rules, all the knowledge that he has about winemaking. But with M, he's experimenting, he's always bringing some bottles, try this, I made this like this, and so on, and tell me, what do you think, do you like it, do you don't like it, and he's always evolving in a different way, so more experimental, more bold, more risky, so on. So the next one will be Pet Nat, Modra Franconia. Oh, this is Blue Franconian. This is a local variety. The German genetic scientists had proven last year that this variety origins from a village nearby Slovenska Bystrica, so it's from local area. And in this time it has spread through the continental Europe, so you can find it in Slovakia, Czech Republic, Hungary, Austria, and also in Germany. Here in Slovenia it's very popular. Probably you tasted with Vinograben, they have fantastic Blue Franconian. And this is basically it's a sparkling wine with bubbles, but it's made in a little bit different way. So they fill the wine into the bottle when it is still fermenting. So it's a method without the secondary fermentation. So this is why it has a crown plug. And you have to be a little bit careful when you are opening it, because sometimes the pressure is very different from bottle to bottle, because it was still fermenting when they filled it. So you can see that the color it's right on, so this is like the modern rosés, just the right tone of copperish, onionish, reddish. This kind of color of rosé is now in trend or very popular. There are no bubbles coming from the bottom of the glass. This is because there is a little bit less CO2 in the Pet Nat method than in classical method. But when the wine first touches your tongue, the bubbles will be released. So this is made from Blue Franconian, and this is why it has a nice fresh fruity aromatic of the forest fruits, maybe raspberry or strawberry. And there is also this ripe yeasty feel to the wine, because it was bottled with yeast. So if I would shake the bottle before opening it, the yeast would be spread through the bottle. Now it's at the bottom. But we usually don't shake these bottles before opening, because otherwise you can have more wine out of the bottle before you would like it to come out. Next wine we are tasting, it's Ren Riesling or German Riesling, also from Frischer Winery. The vintage is 2015, so the wine is slightly more mature. It was aged in a big wooden barrel, so this means 1,500 liter oak barrel. Alcohol content is 13.5%, so this means that the grapes were harvested a little bit later with the aim to make a slightly more structured wine. And I think they have succeeded, because the wine has it's very rich on the nose, very nice in the taste, and has a little bit more pronounced acidity, which is typical for the Ren Riesling. And it's a great food companion, especially for if you have some roasted pork or some thing based on pork meat, it's a very good match. For me it's very exciting, because I know the area where it was grown, and for example, on the smell you first get this wet granite, wet tonalite, so the stony smell. So if we would be sitting here and the rain would start and would be falling on these granite rocks, you would get this very light smell of the stones in the air. And this is what this one smells of. So in the cellar they have a Rhine Riesling 2011, 2013, 2015. So different vintages.
And all with the same production method?
All from the same production method, all from the same vineyard, but all completely different. For me, it's a fantastic combination of fruitiness and minerality.
Yeah.
And I know where this is going. So this wine has very good potential for maturation. It will be even better in 2, 3, 5, 10 years. It will live up to 15 years. Then maybe slowly it will start to go down.
You've had the... You're basing that on the 11s and the 13s?
That's, so 11 and 13 were really outstanding vintages. 2015 was also good. And 2016 and 2016 he had frost, so no wine. 2017 he had hail. Mm. So no Riesling. So he was struggling a lot, but now with a vintage 17, 18 and also 19 being okay, so he has some good wine in the cellar and he'll be able to breed again, because it's very stressful when your production is under the open air and everything can get destroyed in 10 minutes. So the last one that we are trying, it's again the Welsh Riesling, but this one is made completely differently. So the grapes were harvested a little bit later, and the first the grapes, so when they crushed the grapes and took out the stem, the grapes were put into the concrete egg, and this is because the egg has a form with no angles, and during the fermentation the grapes and the skins are able to move around the egg. So you don't have to intervene, you don't have to mix it, but it will be done naturally because of the form of the egg. So on the sides the wine will cool down and warm up again in the middle, so in the middle it will rise and go down on the sides again. So this is the natural, the egg will support this natural movement in the wine, and this is why the more nutrients, colorants are diluted from the skins and will then be you can taste them in the wine when the wine is finished. Mm-hmm. So after the fermentation in concrete egg, the wine was put into a big wooden barrel for another year, so it has a nice herbal smell. It's more pronounced, more strong, and also it is made with reduced yield, so that the quality and the character of the area, it's more you're able to taste the character of the area in the wine. So the winemaker is called Ducal, and the Lashki Riesling, Welsh Riesling, is vintage 2013, and the wine is dry. These kind of wines, they need at least 20-30 spins in the wine, so they will wake up, they will release the aromatic compounds. Because at the beginning it was a little bit, the wine was... sometimes you get this, I get this impression, because the wine, it's alive. Sometimes I get this impression when you open the bottle after, so this was bottled in 15, after 4 years, the wine is still not in the mood to be... consumed. So I know it sounds funny, but it's a living living, not a living organism, but it has a characteristic of a living thing, because it with a minimum addition of sulfur, the life is not killed in the wine. So this kind of wine, they have character, same from Zorian, he doesn't add any sulfur, and these wines are still changing, and when you open the bottle, you should let the wine breathe a little bit, so have the contact with air, and then the wine again will relax a little bit, will release the aromatic compounds, and you will be able to smell and taste them.
Lovely, lovely nose.
Yeah. So first, there was this sharp chemical impression, the medicinal smell that you get, and with a few spins you get this then the soft herbalness, nice fruitiness that is the characteristic of this wine. It would be
like really good food,
fantastic with mushrooms, maybe like if you have ravioli with truffles or shiitake or something like this.
Yeah, yeah. It's be a good match. Almost like an umami characteristic coming through, so it's really good, really nice.
So this were the, was the wine tasting in the old wine house. If there are any open wishes, I am here to help you.
Thank you.
The cellar in which we are at the moment, It's one of the biggest classical, or the biggest classical city center, city cellar in this part of Europe. So the grapes were transported from the hills around the city. They were crushed on top of the cellar, and then the juice just had flown into the barrels. It was fermented here and matured here. And the barrel that you can see on the end of this hall was connected with a restaurant above it. So they never ran out of wine because the they had, like we have pipes for water to every house, they had a pipe from the barrel to the restaurant, and there was always enough wine in the restaurant.
That's my dream.
Yeah. They never had to bottle it, never had to transport it. They just turned on the pump, which was in the barrel, and the wine was flowing in the restaurant.
Was very common in other parts of Europe as well. That system.
So
very efficient.
It was. This is a practical solution. I know that in Prague they have a similar solution with beer. So they had beer flown from the brewery directly to the restaurant. But in this area, wine production was much stronger. So we had wine coming from the barrel to the restaurant. So now we are under the Freedom Square, which we just crossed before, and we are approaching the biggest wooden barrel in this part of the cellar. So this one was made in 1862, and it has a capacity of almost 17,000 liters. So it was also assembled in the barrel workshop, then disassembled, brought to the cellar, and again every part of the cellar of the barrel has a number, so that they knew how to assemble it again here in the cellar. So then the connection would be from the barrel to the restaurant, and when this one was getting empty, they have pumped the wine from the barrels around it, so that this one was always full. So, this one also being quite massive. Also, I think it's around 15,000 liters. So, I guess the people have drunk a lot of wine to empty all these barrels.
But this and this system carried on for.
Yes, a long time. Then the cellar was very successful in the times of Yugoslavia, because in times of Yugoslavia the wine growing was organized differently than it is today. It was not allowed to bottle wine at home, so the winemakers were not allowed to buy to bottle the wine at the estate. So they had to bring the grapes to the community cellar, and this one was one of the community cellars. And the grapes were processed here. And the problem was that they made only one or two different wines, so white blend and maybe some semi-sweet or sweet wine. So the diversity was not so popular at the time. It was more important that the wine is drinkable and it has some alcohol. But today, so now 27 years after Yugoslavia fell apart, the wine production is completely different, because most of these big cellars went bankrupt when the Yugoslavia fell apart, because there was no more market for the wine. They couldn't adapt to the European market so quickly. The winemakers started to make the wine for themselves. And this is much better because they can show the terroir better, they can make single vineyard selections, and they can all express their personality and personal character and taste in the wine. Quantity was important, so when the winemakers were bringing the grapes to the cellar, they were just paid by the weight of the grapes.
So, in that kind of setup then, I mean, were there sort of, there must have been like skills and knowledge that was lost basically, because maybe before it was contained within the families at the winery, and then...
But I think that the wine making here is so common and such a big part of our history that this knowledge luckily was not lost. Yeah. So it was given from generation to generation, but the technology of wine production is changing so quickly that this knowledge of the previous generation is helpful, but sometimes it can be more as a burden than a help, because some winemakers, they want to follow new or modern trends. They don't need anything of the old knowledge. And some winemakers who want to make wine in the old way, they're looking way back, maybe 1,000, 4,000 years back, how the wine was made.
That's it, because it's like the things that are new and interesting, and the natural fermentation and low intervention and biodynamic, it's actually and quivery aging.
This is 5,000.
These are you have to go way, way, way.
But
back,
it was not just present in Georgia or Armenia, but in most of the Europe, but also in Slovenia. We had, when we were building the highway, they found near Ljubljana, they found a clay pot. And they did the carbon dating method of the method analyze of the grape seeds which were in the clay pot, and they found out that this amphora or the clay pot with the grapes inside, it's 4,200 years old, plus minus 50 years. So 4,000 years ago, we were already fermenting grapes, but these were wild grapes, not grown in the vineyard. So with the Romans then, 2,000 years ago, we started to grow grapes organized in an organized manner, so in the vineyard. And this is the start of the winemaking tradition of this area.
And then how do people, ordinarily come to see here? Can they book a tour?
Yes, they can book a tour, but the tour will be generally about, so the tour that they are making, it's about Slovene wine's general characteristic, which I already told you in the old wine house. But when I get here with my guests, it's more what was happening here, what is the difference between production in Yugoslavia, production now, why this cellar is empty, what will happen with these barrels, and so on and so on. It's more focused on the interest of each individual guest, so what they already know and what they want to know. So there is one thing that I want to show you here in the cellar. You know that I told you that our city was occupied by German army, and just before the occupation, there was a wall made in the cellar to protect the Archiva collection, or the collection of old bottles. But unfortunately, people who were making this wall, they died during the war. So we know that there is some hidden Archiva in this cellar, but we don't know where it is. So you can see here, for example, these are the doors which had a very massive door built on it. So this is not in use for at least 50, 70 years. It has rust has eaten the hinges. And you can see here that they were trying to drill inside this wall with the drill. So they would send the endoscope or camera through the wall so they could see what is on the other side. But they used a 1.5 meter long drill, and they couldn't reach the end of this wall. So somebody was trying really hard to hide something behind this wall. So you can see here this is the brick dust which was coming from the wall. So it is not common that you have 1.5 meter thick wall behind this door. We still don't know what is there, so they're looking for some longer drills now to drill through the door, and they'll be able to send the camera on the other side, and we will see what is hiding there. So we hope for some wine treasure that we will be able to enjoy together. Some old bottles or something like this would be very nice. Yeah. Yeah. So in this part, they had storage for the equipment, and in 1909 and further on, they already started to make concrete barrels because concrete was widely available, and they could pour the square barrels, and these concrete barrels had glass tiles on inside. So it was good for maturation of wine. The vessel was inert, so it didn't influence the taste of the wine. So this
that,
was.
And still had the connection up to the.
They still have the. This is, I think, the water line which was going. Which was just used here to wash the barrels or to wash the equipment. Mm-hmm. I think that the wine connection is not preserved anymore. So if you come further down this hole, you will be able to see inside one of these barrels. So unfortunately, this is just a part of the history. None of these barrels is filled with wine. Yeah, and this one, it's open. And it, you can see the glass tiles. But the problem with the glass tiles was that they cracked when the concrete was drying. And it was not so good for wine storage because the microbes, they could survive in these small cracks, even though they were washing the barrel with hot water and sulfur. And then they would affect the fermentation and the quality of wine. So they were quite innovative, quite advanced with these wooden concrete barrels at the time. So later on we'll have a chance to climb in into one of these, one of the barrel like this. So it will also be a good opportunity because if you can, if you're inside the barrel and you can take a photo through the barrel door, and there will be a lot of wooden barrels on the side. So it's a very nice perspective of the cellar from the barrel. So this is now the new part of the cellar. You can see that they were already using the stainless steel barrels. So this, this was built after the Second World War. So in the 50s, 60s. And then the capacity of the cellar was really at its maximum. So again, here on this map, you can see the three wine growing areas of the of Slovenia. So everything what is not alpine area or the forest area is wine growing area. And here it's all, when we have the sea, it's also very visible that we have the Mediterranean influence coming from this part and Alps here and the Alpine influence here, and it's touching Mediterranean Alpine climate. And here again near Maribor we have Pohorje, Alps, and then the Pannonian Flats into the eastern direction. So you can see here that some of the big stainless steel barrels were already removed. They have cut it out and sell it as a scrap metal. Unfortunately, there was no other use for these big barrels. And this is one part of the Archiva, archive wines. So here on the side, on the, this white paper, it is written which kind of wine it is. Unfortunately, we cannot see it from here because it's covered with dust or patina. And I've been there inside recently, and the oldest vintage is 1947, so after the Second World War. And very common is to find Traminer or Welsh Riesling from 1964, 1968, 71, 74. And then 81 was a very good vintage, 83, 89, and then 2000, 2001, 2003, 2008, and so on. So these are especially mostly the late harvests and sweet wines, sweeter wines.
Do they ever hold wine fairs then?
Sorry?
Do they ever hold wine fairs? Maybe bring like
wine
lots of different producers.
Fairs. We have in Maribor, it's called Salon Vindel, Vino and Delicacy, so Wine and Delicacy. And it's held on 24th of October, but it's not held here, it's held in a big convention center or on the Pohorje Hill, so 3 kilometers from the city center. And there you can taste the wines from the area and also from the whole country, from the coast, from Posavje, and also some Austrian, so such South Styrian winemakers would come to this event. It's very popular and several thousand people are attending it. But most of the wine fairs are in Ljubljana, although Ljubljana only has several wines growing there, including the daughter of the oldest wine tree.
Yeah. Take care of it, you know.
So, if you're gonna wanna go inside, it's possible.
Through this,
yeah.
This side.
You'll be born again on the other side. This is the concrete barrel, and this was the last one in use. And you can see that inside it's covered with this plastic mass or the industrial floor, and this is again. Again, inert condition for the wine.
You could do here, you know, you could do here
So we will now enter the barrel so you can see how the wine feels and how it sounds in the barrel.
So now we are inside the barrel and the acoustic here, it's really special.
But you see here what is happening with the barrels when they are not filled with wine or water. So the wood which was in contact with wine for a very long time has dried out. And because it has dried out, it has shrunken. And you can see, if you come to this side, you will see the, you can see inside the barrel, you can see these cracks. And this is just, has only the decorative purpose, so nothing, unfortunately nothing else.
Always keep the barrel full.
Keep the barrel full, either with wine or with water. So just to prevent it to dry out, to dry out. So we are now exiting the Vinac wine cellar.
A huge thank you to Visit Maribor and to our guide, Jernesh Lubej. Do be sure to check out the hashtag Visit Maribor and, of course, Visit Maribor on Facebook. For more information about wine tourism in Slovenia, do please visit enjoy/slovenia.com. To order wines from the series, do be sure to visit findslovenianwine.com. And you can also email Mojca any questions you might have at info@enjoy/slovenia.com. And if you're not already, I would love to have you following along with me on social media, where I'm at Interpreting Wine on Instagram and Facebook, at Wine Podcast on Twitter, and email hello@interpretingwine.com. See you next time.